In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Well, good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. And I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. It is April 12th, the year of our Lord, 2025. Excited to talk high school sports with you for the next 2 hours, as I do every Saturday at First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsor. It is an amazing local, always support local sports sporting goods store, but way more than that, I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room, and sometimes I forget to mention the really cool neon sign. So when you walk into the store, you could look to the right, and there's a Letterman's Jacket sign that looks like, you know, one of those old diner signs in red and blue, and I do my show from this little cavern here where all the Letterman's Jackets are. Madera, Sanger West, Sanger, Sierra High School, Fresno Christian. We're going to have some Fresno Christian talk here in the house today. Kerman, Bullard. We got some Bullard talk as well. Hoover, look at that. The three schools are going to be represented. Hoover as well, Sunnyside, and then the Big Four, I call it, the Central Selma Woodlake Kalinga combo with the orange and black with the white sleeves. Most of these jackets have white sleeves. Well, Edison has that kind of mustardish yellow. So does Clovis High and Parlier. Clovis North behind me. Kingsburg as well. So First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. It's the only place where you get the Letterman's Jacket. And, of course, you bring it in, and they'll customize it for you, and they'll walk you through all of those things. And even if you're not an athlete, I've seen a lot of academic people come in, band people as well. So, yeah, this is a great place to not only have the show, but this is the only place where you can get a lot of this cool local stuff. And then the hats, of course. The hats are straight away, and the Bullard hats and the Clovis West hats. So big, big supporters of high school sports. And I'm happy to be able to talk to you guys for a couple hours about high school sports. We also do a Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. And I'm sure a lot of you have been outside already today. I think it got a little hot a couple days ago, right? Hot as far as spring goes, but we know what Fresno hot's going to mean in a couple months. But beautiful weather today. Right now it's 66 degrees. It's going to be a high of 79 degrees. Spring break is here. Spring break weather is going to be absolutely gorgeous. I looked on my phone. A little bit of a cool down as well. It's going to get down to 74 degrees on Wednesday and Thursday, and then down to 69 degrees on Friday, then back up to 74 and 80 degrees. But Monday is going to be 86, right? So that's as high as it's going to get for the week. But gorgeous weather, absolutely gorgeous weather. And, you know, spring break for educators. It's a good time of the year. As Kevin Miller, who I graduated with at Fresno Pacific University, an employee of Clovis Unified. If you're a Clovis Unified educator, you definitely know who Kevin Miller is. He's on the field during football games as well. On Channel 59, he always posts on Facebook whenever it's Christmas or Easter or summer break. He's like, it's a good time to be an educator right now. So it certainly is. I know a lot of you guys are working out there, but hey, the kids need a break too, as does the educators. All right, so what's going on the show today? Like I said, pure high school talk. We got some cool news and notes. I got some baseball rankings to talk about. Got some baseball scores. I was able to check out a couple of games this week, so I'll break those down. Going to give some softball love as well. Haven't done a lot of softball talk this year. I have some rankings according to Max Preps. Have some stat stars, man. There's been some really, really impressive performances the last couple weeks in the softball world in the Central section. And there was this really interesting baseball game that I'm going to break down for you. It wasn't a game that I went to. Between Fraser Mountain and Mammoth. So I found it on Max Preps, just looking at scores from yesterday. A wild game. I got some crazy stats for that one, so I'll let you guys know about that. So that will take us to about, I don't know, 10:35 or so. And after that, I got Aaron Penberthy on the show. That name goes a long way. The last name, Penberthy, you know what John did at Fresno Christian with his basketball program with that D4 title and the trip to the state championship game. And then Brother Mike, obviously the NBA guy, as an NBA title as a player with the Lakers. But Aaron, he's planted himself in the central section, and he's teacher at Kasner, done a lot of coaching at the junior high level, a little bit at a high school level as well. He's a head coach at Dinuba, like in the late 90s. We'll talk about that. But he's coaching at Fresno Christian. He got the baseball gig and doing a good job. They're 8-8 right now, and he's going to get that program going, man. They're going to be a power in not too long. And so Aaron, he's a great storyteller. Like I said, he's been around a long time. So excited to talk to Aaron. That's going to be a phone call. You know, he's got some good stuff happening at Granite Park. He's always on the move. So I'm really happy to have Aaron on the show. At the top of our number two, Hoover baseball coach Dave Jones is coming on. Now, this guy, I absolutely love when Coach Jones comes on the show every year. This guy is passionate. He's old school, right? He knows the game of baseball. He's been around the game for a long time. Great guy to talk to. Loves his kids, loves his program, loves discipline, right? Like I said, he's old school. And a couple years ago, he had a drive that he led to gather equipment for the youth programs around Hoover High School. Very passionate about that. First String Sports was involved as well. So always great to catch up with Coach Jones. And check this out. They're on a 9-game winning streak. 9-game winning streak. Started 0-6, I believe, but have won 9 in a row. They are atop the league standings. So really excited to talk to Coach Jones. At the bottom of hour number two, around 11:30-ish, 11:35, Bullard Baseball had their Hall of Fame dinner last week. Had 5 inductees, and one was Scott Robinson, graduated in 1996. And his son, Vincent, is a really good baseball player for the Knights right now. Knights are 11-3. He's a 3-year starter. He's moved around positions, played outfields, played second place, played shortstop, headed to Fresno Pacific. So I got a father-son duel coming in. And, you know, Robinson, Scott, the dad, played for Coach Noakes. So I'm sure we're going to get some really good stories from Scott about the playing days. Coach Noakes is a legend. I mean, the baseball stadium at Bullard is named after Coach Noakes. So that's the lineup for today. A couple fun facts here, a couple fun notes. Wednesday, Fresno Pacific University dedicated their brand new stadium. They had a ribbon cutting ceremony. Now, the field's not brand new. Field's been there for a while. But they got a $3 million donation from Dan Martin. The field upgrades are absolutely phenomenal at Fresno Pacific University. Brand new locker rooms. If you guys haven't seen it on the social media, it looks like a double-A stadium. The locker rooms are amazing. You have the LED lights underneath the lockers. It glows, it shines. Plenty of space for the kids. They have their nameplates, there's electrical outlets for them, charging stations, TVs, obviously brand new bathrooms and showers and offices for Coach Hirschkorn and his assistants. Put coverings there for the seats. It was an amazing day at Fresno Pacific. And I do a Fresno Pacific University show, so I was able to talk to Mayor Jerry Dyer, who was there and gave a speech, and Athletic Director Kyle Ferguson. So if you guys have not seen any pictures, go there. Fresno Pacific has a few games left at home. I know, kind of strange, right? They played over 40 games already. But beautiful stadium. Coach Hirschkorn's doing an amazing job there. A lot of our local kids go play baseball at Fresno Pacific University. So it's a great venue to watch a baseball game and to play a baseball game as well. All right, the big Easter Classic, guys, is this week. That's what spring break means as well. Last week, Jason Pappy came on the show, broke it down as only he can. Talk about passionate, labor of love. And it's something that you can count on. 55th annual. His dad started the tournament, and it's a legacy tournament. And Jason doesn't want the expectations to go down. And they certainly have it. If not, the tournament's gotten better. There are going to be 73 games played over 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I highlighted a few games. I'm going to be in Sacramento for a few of these games, but I'm coming back for the Tuesday night game. That's what I want. Might as well highlight that game. So 7 o'clock at Buchanan, Bullard against Buchanan. I'm driving back for that game. Going to be at Buchanan Stadium. There's 4 games at each of these venues. Fresno City, there's 1 game. Crater's going to be playing Fresno High. That's going to be on Tuesday. But Monday at these venues here, 7 different venues. It's going to be 4 games starting at 10 o'clock. All right. Clovis East is going to be playing Washington Union at Clovis East at 10. That's an early game. That's going to be a good one. Clovis North and Sierra Pacific at 10. Why I highlight that because Sierra Pacific, they got a good baseball team. They beat Kerman twice this week. Elk Grove is going to be playing Clovis North. The Elk Grove team is a perennial power up north. That's going to be at 7. Clovis West, Bullard and Clovis West. Bullard's got some tough games in this one. That's going to be at 7 o'clock. At Madera at 10 in the morning. I highlighted this one. It's going to be an interesting one. Madera is going to be playing Central High. I mentioned that Bullard and Buchanan game on Tuesday night. Also on Tuesday at Clovis East, Elk Grove is going to be playing Clovis East. That's at 7 o'clock. And Bradshaw Christian against Clovis North at 7 on Tuesday as well. The reason why I highlighted that one is because Bradshaw Christian, they're 15-0. Now, I looked at their Max Preps page. They've only given up 4 runs all year. They're beating teams like 9-0, 10-1, 4 runs. I don't care what your competition is, only giving up 4 runs all year. That's wild. So we'll see how this Bradshaw Christian does when they come here and play in the Easter Classic. They're taking on North on Tuesday. And then Stockdale on Clovis at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. So a couple games on Wednesday, 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and then the championship game that night at 7. Obviously, best records. Probably going to be a few teams. They're going to be 4-0. I think the first tiebreaker, Jason mentioned this last week, is runs given up maybe, and then run differential, and then strikeouts. A few years ago, it was pretty wild. Maybe 5 or 6. I had to go down to like the 5th tiebreaker to see who was going to play in the championship game. So 55th annual Fresno Easter Classic. Go check out some games. Support these kids. Put some money in the pocket of the program of the Easter Classic so they can keep it going. It takes a lot of money, a lot of manpower, a lot of scheduling. So yeah, that's one of the great things about spring break. All right, a couple things before we hit a break here. Cal High Sports does a phenomenal job. If you don't subscribe, please subscribe. Just the state rankings, the history, they're all state teams. They gave a couple awards to some Central Section people. Emmy Almeida, Carruthers, their junior point guard. We know what Carruthers did, winning the D2 state championship in dominating fashion. She was named the D2 Player of the Year for the state. How cool is that? Division II Player of the Year in the state of California is Emmy Almeida. She had that great game in the state championship, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And it's going to be scary, guys, because they're probably going to be better next year. Are they going to be a D1 team? They might. Yeah. When we mentioned that to Coach Almeida, she's like, oh, man, you know, they go up from D5 to D4 to D2, and they might be D1. So, anyway, congrats to Emmy Almeida on that distinguished honor. And Coach Garrett Brown from Bakersfield Christian was named the D2 Coach of the Year. Now, he didn't win the Central Section Championship. They were in D1, no open division in the Central Section, and was placed in SoCal in the D2 state playoffs, and they had quite a run. They made it all the way to the championship game. They beat Oak Park, Santa Fe Christian, Solana Beach, Pauley of Sun Valley, and lost. They were 1 game away from the state championship. So he's won 24, 21, 22, 27 wins. Won a lot of games. And he's done a really good job, Coach Garrett Brown. So congrats to him as well. All right. I actually have some rankings here. Let's keep going for a little bit. Then we'll hit a break and talk some softball. I was able to see Clovis North and Clovis play a couple games this last week. I saw the Monday game and the Thursday game. So they walked off Clovis High. Clovis North did. Trevor Harper hit a two-run bases loaded double in the bottom of the seventh to win. And I wasn't able to check out this game out because it was that Wednesday. Clovis North beat Clovis 17-12. Broncos were down 9-2 and came back and talked to Brad Harper, Fresno State grad, played catcher there. He's an assistant coach for Clovis North. He said it was one of the wildest games he's ever been a part of. 17-12, they came back and won. And then they won on Thursday 4-2. Wyatt Johnson pitched a complete game. So Clovis High falls to 0-6 in the track. 0-6. Now, granted, they played the two toughest teams in the Central section, Buchanan and Clovis North. And they're going to win some games. That lineup is dangerous when their pitching is at full strength and they got things straightened out. They're going to be a dangerous team. They can swing the bats. And they play pretty fearless baseball. So don't let that record deceive you. Clovis is a very formidable team. But Clovis North, the Broncos, are clicking on all cylinders. I got them ranked number 2 at 14-2 overall. I got Buchanan at number 1, 12-game winning streak. Lost their first two games of the year. They're playing just excellent, excellent baseball all the way through. I got Centennial. This is where it gets a little bit tricky. Those Bakersfield schools are beating each other up. I don't know who's better than who, but I think Centennial is the third best team. They're 13-3. Clovis North beat them 2-1 at home. I got Stockdale at number 4. They're 12-4. Clovis West jumps up a bit. They are at number 5 at 11-4 on the season. St. Joseph. Yes, those St. Joseph from the coast, ones that won the basketball title in boys Division I. I got them at number 6 at 16-4. They've lost to some of those Bakersfield schools teams as well. Clovis East, I got them at number 7 at 11-6. Bakersfield Christian, 10-3-1. I believe they're still base D3, so I don't believe they're going to be moved to D1 in baseball. I got Madera at 13-2. Both of their losses are by one run. They beat Bullard on Tuesday. I got Bullard at number 10 at 11-3. All right. We're going to take a break, and I got some softball news and notes. Can't forget softball here. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Fresno Christian has had a really good year athletic-wise. Soccer team was phenomenal. Basketball team, section champs. Went to the state championship game. Tennis is doing really, really well. And baseball. Baseball has a new coach, and it's Aaron Penberthy. And I've known Aaron for a while. I'd see him at a lot of Clovis West basketball games and see him out and about. And tried to get him on the show for the last couple of years and never worked out. And it worked out perfectly right now because he's got that new gig as the baseball coach for the Eagles. And I think you're at Granite Park right now checking out some more baseball. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm good. Thanks, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing good. All right. So describe where you're at right now. You just kind of walking around on your phone while there's some sports going on around you?
Yeah. You know, I'm in between games here at Granite Park. Yeah, I got a 12U baseball team that I've been coaching for the last couple of years, Duke baseball. And so these 12-year-olds will all filter in and actually will feed Clovis High School. All of them are in sixth grade right now. But that's where they're all headed. You know, I'm helping JD sell out, I guess, in the long run.
That's nice of you, man. It's that's a nice gesture by you. So you guys had a first game at 10, is that right? How'd you guys do?
No, we had a game at 8 this morning. We won. Okay. I think it was like 16-4, 16-5, but we played really well. So we'll get another one at noon, and we'll move on from there. So, you know, it's just preparation for these boys for the long haul.
Absolutely. And this is what you said, your second year coaching this group, second or third?
Yeah, second year with these guys. I had most of them when they were all in fifth grade, and then now they'll be in sixth grade. So, yeah, we try to stay pretty local with what we do and don't travel a lot. We try to keep it pretty simple.
And you guys had a couple games with Carruthers. Now, I didn't find yesterday's score. I know you guys took care of business earlier in the week against them. So how did was it Thursday you guys played, or was it yesterday?
No, yeah, we played yesterday. We were at Carruthers yesterday. A really good ball game. Beat him. We ended up coming up on top. We won 6-4 yesterday. Braden Belmont was the winning pitcher of that game, and very well played game by both teams. We jumped out a little bit early on them, and then kind of held it for the rest of the way. It was a good week for Eagle baseball.
Yeah, so that game earlier in the week against Carruthers was at home. You guys won 16-4. Before that, you beat Parlier 16-1 and 6-3. So yesterday's game, did you guys take the lead? Did you have to come back on them? Did they, you know, just make it interesting late? How did the flow of the game go?
Yeah, we jumped out early. We had a big two-run home run in the first inning by Lucas Adelanian, and jumped out early. I think we put up three in the first inning. Ended up going up 5-0 through four. Braden Belmont throwing a great game for us. I think they ended up getting three. We were up 5-3 and then tacked on another run in the top of the seventh, a sack fly by Joseph Davila. Overall, very well played game, like I said. We jumped out early and just kind of held our own throughout most of the game.
And baseball can be funny that way, right? You guys jump out to the big lead, and sometimes, you know, high school kids can get a bit complacent, leave some runners on, and, maybe walk a couple guys and let the other team creep in. Do you find like you guys are preaching that a lot? Like, hey, guys, every at-bat matters, right? I don't care if the score is 6-0 or 12-0, right? Every at-bat matters. Every pitch matters. Like, you guys really hammer that home while you're coaching at Fresno Christian?
Yeah, you know, Paul, it's interesting. We always tell them, hey, it's a round ball, round bat. You never know what's going to take place. The thing is it's the opportunities. You have to take advantage of the opportunities you have. And we have an opportunity to put a team away. We have to put them away. And, we had a 5-0 lead. We ended up loading the bases in the fifth inning, and they get a two-out double, scores all three runs. So, I mean, it puts them right back into a game. Even a 5-0 lead is not a comfortable lead, and it's the mentality of teaching them that you have to keep your foot on the gas, and you can't be complacent in your at-bats. You can't just cruise through an at-bat. Every at-bat is important. Every at-bat, no matter when it is, you have to take advantage of. And, you know, their guy, you know, to his credit, I think it was the third inning, he ended up striking out the side in the third inning, and I had to regroup our guys and say, hey, let's get our minds right. This game's not over. They're going to come back. They're going to put up some runs. It's the important runs are the late inning runs, the sixth inning run, the seventh inning run that you can tack on for extra insurance. And we needed that headed into that seventh inning, and putting up the sack fly by Davila in the seventh was a huge insurance run. It gave us a 3-run cushion going into that last inning where we can play the game of outs as opposed to the game of runs scored. So we played the simplicity of the outs and fortunate came on top. It's, you know, good victory for Fresno Christian. Good week.
And 6-4 going into the last inning, it feels a lot more comfortable than 5-4. Let's put it that way.
Even as a coach, yeah.
yeah, absolutely. So you guys are 8-8 on the season, 5-2 in league. Before the year started, if I said that to you at this time of the year, you guys are playing .500 overall, but 5-2 in league. What would you say? Would you be like, yeah, that's about what we thought, or we've exceeded expectations? What's your assessment so far?
You know, Paul, honestly, I had no idea what I was getting into as far as what was going on with Fresno Christian. And what I'm finding out is how well coached these teams are. There's some outstanding coaches, in our league. You know, with Fever at Fowler and Alexander at Chowchilla and, you know, Hendricks up at Sierra, Lego at Carruthers. These guys know how to coach. And to get the guys to perform at the level, I honestly, you know, I went up and I'm playing, you know, Kuhn up at Liberty. And I'm like, good grief, these guys are outstanding. And then I go and play Alexander up in Chowchilla. These guys, this left-hander just shoved it. I mean, he struck us out 14 times. I was like, oh, my smokes, if this is what the league is, we're in trouble. And so for us to be where we're at right now, I'm very encouraged. I'm very encouraged with the way the guys have played the game of catch, and then even come out and pitched very well. Yeah, we put up some runs in bulk in some of our victories, but our pitching has been very good for us. And even the games we've lost, we've pitched really well, and that's been the big thing. But as far as being 5-2 in the league, I never want to tell you I'm shocked. Because I would think that I would like to prepare my guys to be ready for those games. But, yes, I'm a little cut off guard, to be honest.
I'm curious, Aaron, about how you approached this season, right? And Fresno Christian, obviously I mentioned the success that the sports year has brought you guys. But going in, like, did you truly not really know? I know your brother is the athletic director. We might get that into that in a second. But did you, like, man, I don't know if I'm going to have, a JV team. I don't know if 25 guys are going to come out total. I don't know if 13 guys. Like, what did you know going into the program?
Well, I tried to establish a little culture early, and we did a little bit of fall ball morning workout, 6:30 in the morning. I tried to find out who would show up for that. I was getting around 13 guys. Hard to do. Nothing mandatory. I didn't want anything with football to be interrupted with football. Football had a good season. So normally if you look at the schools that are successful in football, they're normally pretty successful in baseball. And you take some of those teams that you just look around the valley where the success comes from. If football's pretty successful, the baseball team's normally going to be pretty good. And I kind of fed off of John and his sports, my brother, as far as the basketball coach and their success. And we just try to establish a culture of success, of focusing on preparing yourself and being prepared and going into it. I have seniors. I have five seniors right now, and I was hoping to really rely on their leadership to help prepare us for the season. Going into the season, I'm looking at the schedule. I don't know how good a lot of these teams are. I've been up at the Clovis level and the Division I with the Clovis schools, and so coming to Fresno Christian, it was definitely an eye opener to see how well coached some teams are, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Do you have a long term vision plan? Meaning, like, hey, in 2 years we want to be here. In 4 years we'd like to be here. Or is it? Or is it season by season? How are you approaching that?
Well, I think one of the things that when I went to my brother and said, hey, if you're interested, I need to tap into your junior high. I need to really prepare ourselves and start working with the junior high kids and even down in elementary. And I want them to love Fresno Christian baseball. And it's really the mindset of being the director of sport for the entire level from elementary all the way on up through, the high school. And so the vision was to get the kids want to, first of all, what happens is a lot of kids will come to Fresno Christian and then leave and go play at the other schools. Well, my goal is to keep all of them. I want them all to be there. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep them at Fresno Christian. And long-term wise, there's some really good athletes that are at Fresno Christian that we need to keep around there to be successful.
What are some things, Aaron?
Oh yeah, I had a big. So we you always have a vision. You always have something.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to establish the culture first.
I know. Yeah, I've seen pictures, and I know your style of coaching, and I know you have great relationships with the students and with the players. So I know that's going to go a long way. But what's something as you jumped into this? Head first. I know you do have head coaching experience. It's not like this is brand new for you. But what's something that has jumped out to you this year? Something you've learned, like, hey, maybe kids are a little bit different, or maybe I need to approach it this way. Or 15 years ago, this didn't work, but it works today.
Yeah. The best thing about baseball is that baseball's been pretty standard the way it's been played. I mean, you can play the small ball, you can rely on the long ball. The bottom line is. I have always pushed to run the bases, and a good base running team puts pressure on the defense to throw the ball across the diamond and play catch. And at this level and at these guys in high school, I wanted to establish them playing catch. And I wanted to establish a game of catch, and I wanted to establish a game of running. How can we push that for them to be successful at this level? And the kids have bought into that. And one of the things I've never changed is the way you run the bases has never changed. Hard out of the box, hard double, out of the box, read ball and dirt, and run the bases. If you look at us, we run the bases. And we are very aggressive on the bases, and that's really to put pressure on them playing catch. And that hasn't changed from when I was involved with Dinuba 20 years ago to when I was at the Masters University to where I was at Hoover High School. We're going to put pressure on people on the base path, and I think that's what when you see those runs and the accumulation of runs is because we put our kids in positions to be successful when they're hitting, even when it's just giving up an at bat as far as a sack fly or a hard ground ball up the middle just to score a run. Those things haven't changed as far as the way the game of baseball is played. So we keep it simple, but we like to run.
It is a simple game, right, when you break it down. And, you hear from the best coaches around, put the ball in play with two strikes, play catch, and throw low strikes, right? It's a pretty simple game we break down. And I know, Aaron, that base running is a huge part of the game, man. If you could take an advantage of a throwing situation, if you could get another half-step lead on certain things, that definitely can make a huge difference. Aaron, I want to go back a little bit with some of your playing days, right? Playing at Hoover, and then you mentioned the Masters, and you were drafted in the 25th round as well. But what are some really cool memories that you had growing up playing baseball, maybe at the little league level or at the during high school? What are some cool memories you have?
I will tell you, I was very blessed to have good coaches, which kind of helped shape my mindset. And I always love to tell David Alexander, he was one of my coaches. He's a Chowchilla coach now, but we stepped on the field to play against each other, and he introduced me to his bride. And I said, Dave was my coach. And she looked at me like, are you kidding me? And so when I go back to these things and I get to play against some of these guys that I got to coach, JB, I got to coach, and be around Jason. Jason Pappy was a teammate of mine. I mean, these guys that are now involved with me now all help shape who I am as far as understanding the game and playing the game. But I can tell you that playing for Gong's Market in Fresno back in Little League is where I hit my first home run. Playing for Buzznitsky at Hoover High School was the guy, and David Alexander. Those are the guys who shaped my mindset as far as calling a game, as calling for pitches and calling strikes and challenging me. Buzznitsky actually told me when I was in high school, "You will play professional baseball for sure. You're one of the only guys I can really see that will go and play professional baseball." And I didn't think so. And then I went to play at the Masters University under Monty Brooks, who's still there now. He's a legend there. And being able to get drafted. And what's fun is I like to tell people I was drafted the same year as Albert Pujols. And people laugh about that. And I was like, yeah, he just stopped playing. And here I am, I've been coaching the last 15, 20 years. But Albert and I were in the same round. My roommate in pro ball was Coco Crisp. So that was always fun to be able to watch him go up and play for the A's and the Cardinals and the Red Sox. And so, baseball's an interesting game because you build so many relationships through the game, individual sport, but played as a team. And what I mean by that is that you have to perform as an individual, but you also have to perform as a team. And so at the same time, you have to be able to take those strengths and those things that you've learned from these different guys and be able to shape and mold the mind that you have to go now and coach it. And then to break it down even more at an elementary level so that they can fully understand where you're going with everything. And so, it's fun. I laugh about some of the playing days and some of the games that we used to play against and the teams and the things that I've learned. Paul, I've got a weird mind. I still remember counts of at-bats and things that happened against certain pitchers that I faced. And my mind's weird in that way. I wish I knew the Bible that well, but But that'll come, I think, with getting older and wisdom. So we'll keep working on that.
I think that's why you and I get along so well, is we remember crazy things from high school days and certain hits and certain pitches. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't remember, you know, what my lesson plans are supposed to be for the week while teaching, but I could remember, you know, cranking out a 3-2 slider for an opposite field double against Lindsay High School, right? I mean,
absolutely, no doubt, absolutely, yeah.
I want to ask you, just about, are you easily the best baseball player in the Penberthy family? You got the baseball bug?
By far. Yeah,
easy.
I would even tell you I'm the best shooter in the family. I mean, let's be honest. I know my brothers are going to hear this, and they know if we step on a basketball court, I would outshoot all of them. They know that. There's no doubt about that.
But hey, when I ask John to say, yeah.
Yeah, you get down there and let him. You can ask Mike, too. I know he's been an NBA player, but I think the real game comes down with the brothers is on a golf course. And that's where we all have a good time out there, because that's where that's an even playing field with that for all of us out there.
And I would assume, right, with your baseball skills, you can outdrive those guys or not?
Oh, absolutely not. My brother Mike is like a scratch golfer.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that guy's nuts. That guy's ridiculous. He's another level. We're just so happy to be, that he buys our round of golf. That's what, you know, that's how we look at that.
Is he living in Colorado?
No. He lives down in L.A.
In L.A.
He flies out when he needs to. He's got a great relationship with the Nuggets and a great job. He's outstanding at what he does. You know, I'm very proud of my of all my brothers. They're outstanding individuals. So they're good at everything. So Mike's outstanding coach. My brother Joey, the pastor of his church. He's an amazing pastor. You guys got to lock onto that guy and listen to his sermons. And then John's just the best boss to work for.
And yeah, so obviously I'm getting messages right now. I'm getting texts from John, and he's talking about, you know, don't believe anything that Aaron's saying, something about a knuckleball he has. I mean, just the rounds of competition, man. You guys probably get after it while playing checkers, don't you?
Oh, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it doesn't matter. I make a better ham sandwich than he does. It doesn't matter. We have competition for everything. That's how our parents raised us. They raised us to compete, but they're my best friends.
Awesome. We got another minute here with Aaron. This has been a great conversation. All right, so Fresno Christian, what are you guys doing this Easter? You playing in an Easter tournament? Who do you got?
No, we're not. We have some guys that were going to be gone. We weren't, unfortunately, able to jump into an Easter tournament, and so we're going to take a couple days right here, kind of regroup mindset-wise. We'll get after a little practice. Some rounds of beeps and to get these guys still locked in, but we get right back at it. We have Edison that Monday night when we get back, and then we're right back at it with Riverdale and League Ball. So we're going to stay a little bit. We'll stay definitely dialed in and locked in, but we're going to kind of refresh our minds and get our bodies right as well. So we're halfway through the season.
All right, perfect, Aaron. Sounds great. Really appreciate you jumping on in between your games, coaching those 12-year-old boys, and you're doing a great job at Fresno Christian. I appreciate you jumping in and talking about your experience and what's going on. I appreciate it. Have a good Easter, my friend.
Hey, happy Easter. Appreciate it. Thanks, Paul.
All right, that was Aaron Penberthy, the head baseball coach in his first year at Fresno Christian. When we take a break, we're going to be talking more baseball. We got Hoover coach Dave Jones and Patriots, winners of 9 in a row, top of their league as well. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. This is their big seller. It's what keeps this place really, really hopping and humming. And, I love the Saturdays here. Obviously, beautiful weather out there. But the Saturdays when everybody comes in and picks up, seeing somebody picking up a big trophy right there with engraving on it. But come pick up their Letterman's jackets, right? It's a really cool deal. And if you guys miss any part of the show and want to go back and listen to it, you can on 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcasts, Central Valley Sports Reports right there. And all the other great shows as well, Behind the Bench with Phil Benanti, does a fantastic job. He's our new play-by-play this year for high school sports. He's done an amazing job. And, of course, the trusted voice of Tony Diodato, the Bulldog Hour as well. So we're happy to be the local sports leader here in the greater Fresno and Clovis area. And I got Coach Dave Jones right now, head coach at Hoover High. He comes on the show every year, and today's the day. Love having him. And, you know, talk about all the coaches that come in and out picking up their stuff, man. I see Coach Jones all the time in here picking up equipment, baseballs, and all the good stuff. So how you doing, Coach?
I'm good. Thanks for having me today. Beautiful day.
All right. So do you still have your Letterman's jacket?
You know,
I don't want to date you or anything, you know, as far as, you know, how long it's been, but.
No, in high school, I have two older brothers. They both had Letterman jackets. I thought, I'll never wear that after high school. That's not the memento I want. I guarantee they do not have them now, so I never got one. But the funny thing is, I came in here and got a Hoover one. So I put the coaching stuff on it and wear it every once in a while, and just school spirit. And you're right. I don't know another place in town where you can get a Letterman jacket, but
you can't.
They got a thing going here.
It's that one right there.
Actually, I have an old school one. It's gray.
You got the gray version.
Yeah.
Is it more? It looks like that. Those the jacket, right? Because I think they have like a version of the old like 1950s sweater.
No, it's that.
Nice. All right. So, what's on the agenda for today? Obviously, getting ready for the Easter Classic that we're going to talk about in a second. But just kind of a day to maybe watch a little Masters and recoup a bit.
Actually, we hit this morning, and Saturdays we just come out and hit shorts, music, relax, work on specific things if we don't feel we did a good job the week before, a little more relaxed atmosphere. But we're taking the Hoover baseball team over to Fresno City College today to watch Aiden Medina for COS in the rubber match of that three-game series at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Perfect timing. Go get some lunch and then go check that out.
Yes, sir.
How's Aiden doing?
Aiden's doing well. He started off the year, was kind of spot playing. Then they realized what I've always seen is you got to find a way to put that guy in the lineup. So he played a little second base, started at left field, and now he's the everyday shortstop.
Oh, wow.
And was leadoff hitter for a while. I think he's batting .200 lately. He's doing a great job in conference. We went down and watched him 2 weeks ago, right before they introduced their locker room. So I got to see Coach Laird show me their locker room. Phenomenal locker room for a junior college. Aiden was 2 for 3, knocked in and scored the two runs of that game. They lost to Taft. He made backhand plays at shortstop. He is growing into everything I saw in him at Hoover, and I'm very proud of him. And Coach Laird speaks very highly of him. Jody Allen, they're just like, we knew that kid was going to be a gamer, and he has shown up.
That's great to see. And I know how proud you are of him and how hard you work with those kids and see him succeed. Man, making plays, backhanded plays at the junior college level, that's impressive.
No, it's very much so. I talked to Aiden a couple times a week, and I asked him about the speed of the game. And he said, yeah, there was an adjustment. And there should be an adjustment for every kid. He said, but once he got comfortable, he enjoys every day.
The speed of the game. Yeah, that's a big one at any level, right? Even JV to varsity, eighth grade to JV, whatever, you know, high school to junior college. It's a big jump.
Yeah, there's a reason for that jump, right? Like, I'll bring up some JV kids for the Easter Classic, and just for them to be in the dugout, they're going to see the difference. It is. It's there. There's a reason levels are levels.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Coach, you guys are playing some really good baseball right now. 9 wins in a row. Looking at this schedule here, Wins over Torres, Roosevelt, Madera South, McLean, Sunnyside, a couple more against Torres. And then the really good week of baseball, right? Madera South 4-1 and 7-3 wins. What's been the secret sauce? Why are you guys clicking so well right now?
I will definitely say pitching is, even in this preseason, and we try and play tougher teams in the preseason, except for that one-off against Pioneer Valley, and then Washington Union did a good job against us, but that's a strong baseball team. Our games were 2-1, 3-1. I mean, they were all close, and pitching was the constant. So I have, you know, Asa Medina, AJ Escamilla, and now Logan Cunningham, three seniors with a lot of experience. And then on the back end of that, I have sophomore Gio Herrera hasn't given up a run in league, and those guys are all rolling ERAs, most under one, but under two. So the philosophy is you got to throw strikes. Let's not give free passes. Can we make the routine plays on defense? And on the offense, where we had struggled at times, put the ball in play and see what happens. And that's our philosophy. And so the pitchers have stepped up, and the defense has been really good. And we've been fortunate to just roll that at the right time.
Well, you guys haven't given up more than three runs. And so that's, yeah, you're absolutely on point with the pitching. And that helps the defense, confidence with the defense, right? I mean, you guys are throwing strikes, and they're going to be active, right,
yeah,
defensively.
100%. And the defense has been really good. I mean, I think, and I just look at league because that's when, you know, you get three seasons. Preseason is that for a reason. You play league, and then you're postseason. So in our important season right now is league. And I think we have one error a game. So we have nine games, nine errors. A couple of those are pitching, pitchers off the mound, which is a difficult task. But not a lot that have hurt us. So the guys are making the plays. Those pitchers, when they throw strikes, right, you're looking at 10, 12 ground balls a game. You got to make plays. And some fly balls. We don't have a ton of strikeout pitchers. We throw to contact, low strikes, ground balls. So they're doing what we ask of them. And it's been fun. And we're looking forward to the Easter Classic, but you don't want to break up that rhythm.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's go back right to the beginning of the year. So I mentioned the nine-game winning streak you're talking about. But what started off the year with six losses. What was the message to the team? Right? Were you just like, hey, guys, keep grinding. We're going to find it. What were you constantly having to tell the team during that time?
Yeah, so losing, right? Coach's job is don't let them dwell. And baseball, of course, a very humbling game for anybody that plays it and all the coaches that I know, and they all say the same thing. You got to be able to flush it, and you got to work on, you know, things. So we were in it, right? We were in every game. We lost close to Emmanuel. We lost close to Pioneer Valley, we lost a game we don't feel we should have lost, Kalinga in the first game, and we weren't swinging the bats very well at all. So our bats were definitely behind our pitching, and I have six guys who have been playing varsity baseball since they were freshmen post-COVID, so kind of brought up last year's stats and the year before stats and said, okay, so you all know you have had success at this level. So now get out of your own way and just start doing what you know works. And so it's not like we said, okay, we're only going to hit 5 days a week. Like, I wasn't afraid of that. And I was happy as a former pitcher that my pitching was ahead of my hitting. And then we kind of just reset when we went into the league, said, okay, you played tougher teams. You competed. Now go take care of your business. And we, our team mantra this year, because I have seven seniors that all played as freshmen, is finish what you started. And they have taken that personally, and they want more. And so that's exciting to see.
Well, you're seeing the fruits of the labor, right?
Yeah.
With this winning streak. What's the state of Hoover baseball? We're going to get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty, because I'll never forget a couple years ago when you had the drive to help the community around Hoover with the equipment drive. But where are you guys at now in terms of participation and excitement and all the good stuff?
Yeah. best numbers in my 4 years. We actually had to make cuts at the JV level this year. So there were 25, 27 kids tried out for JVs. I kept 20. I think we're down to 18 through grades, but never before was it over like 14, 15. So that was great. And then varsity, we have 15 kids. I don't think I've ever had more than 12. And 15 players. Like, we compete for those starting positions. I've never had really that problem.
A good problem.
It's a good problem. And, yeah, I have more kids coming up to me saying, hey, coach, next year I'm coming out for baseball. So slowly but surely, you know, we just hope that winning, JVs are winning too, gets more kids interested. And, you know, there's a lot of kids that came out freshmen. Oh, I didn't play last year or whatever. We're okay with that, you know. Come out and
there's no politics with that.
See what you got. Yeah,
that's right. We have a mutual friend in Dara Johnson, the athletic director at Hoover High, and when she found out that you were coming on the show, she sent me a text. She says, "Could you relay this message to Coach Jones?" So yeah, I promised her I would. So said, as an athletic director, it's been an honor working with Dave as he's tackled his position with the tenacity in providing a program for our student athletes that they are proud to be a part of, and relentless to holding a high level of expectation while still building relationships with those athletes. She's excited to see the fruits of your labor and the investment and commitment paying off. I know you're an emotional guy, but what do those words mean to you?
Oh, Dara is one of a kind. I was fortunate enough when I got this position, Tim Carey, great supporter, told me, helped me how to navigate some stuff. And then Dara took over, and she has been such a supporter. You know, she coached for a long time, had a lot of success. So I lean on her a lot. How do we deal with this? How do you handle kids with this? And she is such a supporter, and she fights for what I need her to fight for. But just as a friend, as a personal friend, she puts us before anything else, and she has just given me confidence, support. You know, she's been through it this past year personally. So, you know, we wanted to be there for her, and I know we were, and we just as the Hoover family, we just love Dara so much, and she checks in on me all the time, make sure that I'm not getting too consumed with it. And, you know, my consumption with this thing is, I hope it's not selfish. I don't need a league title. I don't need a championship. I want to have these kids experience something that Hoover hasn't had in a long time. And hope that they learn, you know, baseball ends very quickly, but these lessons we're learning, hopefully help you become a better citizen, a better father, a better community member, a better alumni, a coach someday, or whatever you do. You've learned these, how to handle adversity, how to win with grace, how to lose with grace, made some great relationships along the way. And just seeing what sports can do for you. Hoover baseball player, good human. And that's, you know, my alumni support. Those guys all show that. So that's the goal. And Dara's a big part of helping me keep that in focus.
Absolutely. She is. She's one of the best. She's definitely a gem. So a few years ago, Coach, you saw the need, right, for the area. You did not want Hoover baseball to be an afterthought. You wanted Hoover baseball to thrive, and it really starts with the youngins, right, with the young kids, and you want them to have some pride. Like, hey, one day I want to play on that field. One day I want to play for coach. One day I want to, you know, score some runs and maybe win a league title. But it starts with the little ones. And you saw a need, and you tackled that need. Just go back a couple years ago and what you saw and now how you're seeing that come to fruition.
Yeah, so when I started, good friends like Cal Kane and Brian Marsubian said, oh, you know, Hoover, not being from Fresno, that Little League is Cary League right there by Fashion Fair. And then my kids all said, hey, we all play at Cary League. So I went and introduced myself to the Cary League and kind of got the history. You know, used to be 800 kids, 700 kids, and they were down to like 150, 200. And then I knew with Coach Pappy getting that Little League geared back up, that might have an effect. So we had started a nonprofit to kind of help get things going, both at Hoover, money-wise, and in the area. And one thing was equipment, and they didn't have a lot of money. So we had this big equipment drive, and baseball community in Fresno is always awesome. So Fonts was at Buchanan, and Delana was at Memorial, and man, those guys showed up. We got gloves and bats and helmets and old pants and socks and gear bags. And I think we ended up giving Cary League 60 or 70 gloves, 40 or 50 helmets, tons of little bats that players had had in their garage, and a ton of stuff. And then we didn't do that again, but I got Fresno Unified to recognize those are kids in our district. So last year, they bought all brand new baseballs, 9 sets of catcher's gear, batting helmets, and we were able to donate that through our thing. So well outfitted for the season and just helping them. And, yeah, we're starting to see, you know, a little more interest in that. Cary League is still going and working it out with the city. Everything's more expensive. Public parks become rental parks. So yeah, when we can, we want to help and just keep these young kids involved and give them something to do.
What are some answers, or what are some other things that you think the community of Fresno and you know, Clovis and everybody, right, helping each other? What are some things that people out there can do to enhance, right, the opportunities for young ones?
Well, I certainly, you know, being the son of a coach, kid who played sports, idle time is definitely not,
yeah,
right? And in this electronic age, I say as early as possible, support your local leagues. Go volunteer. There's always a shortage of coaches, even at our level. If you used to play baseball and you're not doing anything, learn how to be an umpire. We need umpires. But we need these leagues, not these public leagues, need to stay in existence. If it becomes an all travel ball, yep, AAU world, we're going to price kids out of competition, and then we're going to have a bigger problem. And I'm a retired cop, so I can tell you what happens when kids don't have anything to do. So I would say, you know, that's fine. If your kid's in travel ball, that's great. Yeah, if that's what you want to do. But don't forget what was there when you were young, right? We need to keep public recreation alive. So that's kind of my goal is let's not forsake some of these kids in some of these neighborhoods. And we gotta give them something alternative to do.
I agree, right? You've been coaching for a long time, and you hit it on the head when you said, hey, the, you know, idle time, right? What are kids going to do? They're going to be walking around the streets and, you know, up to no good in certain ways. I saw the same thing that you saw, Coach, a few weeks ago. I mentioned on air that my school, Traver, which is one of the poorest communities in the state of California, we want to start a softball program. And I put it out there, and Clovis High Softball stepped up. They donated a bunch of equipment, some old bats and gloves, and we went all in. And I know, you know, our superintendent is the head coach at Emmanuel High School, Steve Ramirez, and what he has the same type of heart, right? And So he's like, all right, we're going all in. So we got new uniforms and spent like $3,000 on dirt and getting the field scraped. So, you know, investing in kids, right? It needs to happen.
100%.
And it needs to keep going. It's it's a calling, right? And when we don't go after it aggressively, I think we lose out.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And you mentioned Steve, and I'm going to tell you, we play a home and away with Emmanuel every year because of that. Because of that guy.
Yeah.
He does it right. His kids are great kids. We'll usually they'll come here. We'll have pizza after the game. Some of my kids know their kids. Just a class act over there. And when we went over there this year, his wife made us brownies for after the game. So I just love the relationship. And it doesn't surprise me that you say he went all in, because it needs to happen. You know, if not us, who? And somebody needs to care about these kids. And I just, that's kind of where my heart is.
It definitely is. We got a couple minutes here with Dave Jones, the head baseball coach at Hoover High. All right, so let's talk a little more baseball. So mentioned the Easter Classic. You mentioned what Jason Pappy is an alum of Hoover High, but he threw you in playing Buchanan, number one team in the Central Section, El Camino Real, Reedley, and then Liberty Madera. So starting off with a hot one right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Buchanan, that's Coach Fonts, Coach Marsubian, bunch of high-quality baseball players over there. But we're ready to go play baseball, right? I tell the kids, Easter Classic is so much fun. You get to play good baseball. You get to watch good baseball. You get 3 days of just good baseball. Pappy's do a great job of bringing in quality baseball teams. We are looking forward to the challenge. I think you had Trenton on yesterday, and he preaches what we preach, and I preach what Donald preaches, right? There's always going to be another team in the dugout, but you got to play the game of baseball against yourselves, right? So pitchers have to throw strikes. Hitters have to put the bat on the ball in a hard way. And when the ball's hit, you got to play defense. If you do that to your capability and you end up losing the game because they put it where you weren't, you tip your cap and you move on. That's the beauty of baseball. So we're looking forward to it. I don't know anything about El Camino other than they're from down south, and that's good baseball. That's good baseball too. So I'm sure that's going to be interesting. And then I know Coach Russ at Reedley, and of course Coach Kuhn at Liberty. We've had our run-ins with them in the playoffs the past few years, but we're looking forward to it. And I just told the kids, enjoy the week, right? It's a good break. It's not your league. You're gonna see and play and have good baseball. So we're looking forward to it. We'll just play our game and see what happens.
And that game is going to be, what, 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Right out of the chute. Not messing around at Buchanan. So, Coach Jones, always a pleasure when you come on and talk about Hoover baseball and how passionate you are about kids and the program and how, the game is still the same, right? You're still playing baseball, but there's also life lessons. So thanks for coming in. I appreciate it, man, and good luck this week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having us. We'll see you out there.
All right, sounds great. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got Bullard baseball in the house. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame and what's going on at Mike Noakes Field and all that good stuff. We're listening to it. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I hope you guys were able to hear that entire conversation with Dave Jones of Hoover. And you could just hear, hopefully it came across on radio just fine, but you could just hear the passion, right? And, he gets emotional because he cares about kids. And he mentioned being in law enforcement for so many years and then transitioning to coach at Hoover. So he's invested. He's all in, man. We need more of those types of guys. He's a great guy. And now we're switching to the rival, the Barstow rival. So we got Bullard in the house right now. So last Saturday, Bullard had their Hall of Fame dinner, and it's a big deal. Legendary program. Scott Robinson, class of 1996, was inducted. I think there were five total guys that were inducted last Saturday. And Son Vincent, he's a senior on this year's team. Bullard's 11-3 on the season, defeated Fresno High 10-0 on Thursday. Hey, I know this was kind of short notice. I texted you guys last night, but thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Paul, we thank you. I mean, I want to start off by saying I think a lot of people appreciate, you know, what you do in the local community here, covering sports, both high school, you know, college. It's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
So I just want to say thank you very much for everything you do. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, and, you know, it's always about the community, right? It's about giving a voice to the kids and getting their names out there and hearing stories. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I want to ask you guys about, like, today. No game yesterday. You played on Thursday. Is this just kind of a recouping day? Maybe watch the Masters. It's beautiful weather out there. What's going on today for you guys?
Yeah, today was – I mean, me and my dad just went out today. We went to the cages. We got some work in. We just short 20, 25, 30 minutes of just – quality hacks in, and then I mean, we watched the Masters a little bit, and then came home and came here. But overall, just a rest day. I mean, recovery, but like, and get ready for the tournament we got coming up. We got three big games.
It's a big one. It's a big tournament. Are you into the Masters at all? I don't really have any updates. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I am into the Masters, and I keep waiting for my name to get pulled on the lottery. Every year, I submit my name to the lottery for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't been pulled. I would love to go there someday, but. I try and watch it all 4 days, and this year I'm really hoping McIlroy gets his career grand slam, puts on that green jacket.
It's time.
Big fan of his, and he's up there on the leaderboard. I think he tees off here next. I think right now at 11:40. So we'll see. But I'll be pulling for him. But big fan of the Masters.
And of course, Bryson is going to be right there. A lot of people say he's at the top of his game right now. So he's going to be tough to beat. Should be fun. Should be a fun. Round today, and then obviously tomorrow. All right, so let's talk about Bullard baseball a bit. You guys lost to Madera, right, earlier in the week, and I know they got a dude, right? He threw against you guys.
Yep. He did, yes.
You guys come back and beat Hoover 10-0. You had a couple RBIs and a couple stolen bases in that one. So how good was it to get back in the win column, especially after that loss?
I mean, really awesome to get back into the win column. I think Madera is our toughest league opponent, and we knew that going into the season. I mean, we're always trying to come at them with what we got. I mean, we knew they had their guy on the mound. It was tough. We battled some errors in the field. It was a rough game. I mean, we obviously had only one run, but I think coming back, and the whole team knew that that is just a stepping stone in, and coach has preached that all year, that is just a stepping stone for all year. And in a short high school season where every game matters, you need to come back and do exactly what we did, put 8 runs up in the first inning on Fresno High. And, I mean, just – the whole team came together and knew what we needed to do and showed up to play on Thursday just ready to go, and that was really special.
Who are some other dudes that clutched up for you guys in that game?
We've had, I mean, most of our – Jack Cooper, I don't even think he got out that game. I mean, Jason Bain has been hitting well. Isaiah Clark's been hitting well. Our whole lineup, we've had I think most of our guys, I think me and Wyatt Rosenthal and Chirito are the only guys that have had varsity experience. I think every other guy – is a first-year varsity player, so seeing all of those guys step up and, I mean, just bring what they have to the table, and they're not tentative, and they're coming into play, and it's awesome. All those guys are filling their role well in the spot that they're being put in.
And you've played varsity since your sophomore year. You've moved around the field a lot, played outfield, and it was Trenton Kemp last year when he coached at Bullard. He was just raving about you, saying, "Man, you're my type of dude, right? You're a team first guy." So, what are the different positions that you played out, and where are you settling at right now? And what's been your favorite so far?
Yeah, so I think the first time I ever played, I think my eighth grade year when I came up to play for Coach Donald, the first place he put me was third base. I don't think I'd ever played for third base before, but
he's probably trying to prove a point or something, right?
I stuck it out and I got it done. But and then my freshman year, I came and I played on the JV team and I played shortstop there. I played the whole year, every single game, shortstop on the JV team. I did pretty well. And then sophomore year, we had an injury with our shortstop when Beckett got hurt, so we had to make some switches. So I got to play second base there. So sophomore year, I played varsity second base, which was awesome. I got to play with all those guys in the infield. We had a bunch of Division I commits. It was great. And then I had played with NorCal in the summer with outfield. We had so many guys playing infield. There was just had to find somewhere to play. So I was playing outfield there and coming back to I felt that I was most comfortable in the outfield. So when I came back junior year, we had talks with the coaches, whatever, like, can you go play? You want to go play outfield? You want to try this? What, try that? So I played half the year at second base, and then I remember the Memorial game. It was, I think it was the Mike Noakes day, was when I played center field. So I played second base, center field, and then this year finally moved back to shortstop. We needed someone to play shortstop this year, so I'm holding that down. But I think no matter – I've always took pride in myself at being able to play each position, because no matter what, I mean – If you could play everywhere, you're going to be put somewhere. And if you can hit, there's got to be a spot for you. So I took pride in that my whole career. And just I think that no matter where you put me, I'm going to do my best. And
you're strong. You're strong up the middle. And you probably wouldn't be surprised if they asked, hey, are you are a third string catcher? Right. Right.
Yeah.
You never know. Never know.
Maybe. I mean, I could do whatever.
Scott, I want to ask you about watching your son, you know, throughout, you know, we're going to talk about his NorCal experience as well, but just following his whole career up until his senior year, what's been that like for you being a Bullard alum?
It's been very, very special, you know, because now I'm able to kind of sit back and enjoy the game and really watch, you know, because I work with both my boys a lot on, you know, practicing and the fundamentals. That's been the special part, but I think just seeing him go out and play some elevated baseball in the summer times, playing with, you know, different players from around the state, going out and traveling across the country and getting experiences at that level, and, you know, and then playing locally at a high school where I played at. I mean, it's a really cool dad moment to sit back and say and watch both my sons almost do more than what I did, you know, in my playing career. So it's been very special, and I enjoy every minute of it. I'm the guy that sits down the line. I try and, you know, get to games and say hi to people, but I go down the line and I just kind of stay away and just enjoy the game and watching my son and the team play. So.
Do you get that a little bit of you know, anxiety when you know your son's going to come up? I know you said, you know, try to enjoy it as much as possible, but it's natural, isn't it?
It is natural, but what I think is we put so much time in preparation, you know, working on when the moment comes, you're ready. I never wish my kids luck. You want to know why? Wishing luck is for the unprepared, right? So there's times when big moments come up. I'm like, oh, get a little bit of the butterflies. But, you know, I do and stay pretty calm and relaxed and just enjoy watching them do what they love to do.
So last Saturday was a cool deal for you.
Yeah.
And always good to catch up with guys you may haven't seen for a while, mm-hmm. Swap stories. Just talk about that experience as a whole. What are some highlights from last Saturday?
Yeah, last Saturday was a special night to be recognized for my playing days at Bullard was an awesome, you know, feeling experience. Having, you know, my family there, having ex-teammates there, having some competitive teammates from, you know, other high schools and some other local coaches there that night to kind of support was pretty special. And just an overall night for the foundation and the other inductees was great. But, you know, really, I said this that night at the dinner, what was really special to me was to have both my boys there and to see, you know, that Vincent's wearing number 6 where I wore number 6. I led off, he's leading off. I played center field at Bullard. He, you know, played center field. He's at shortstop now. My youngest son is a freshman wearing number 6. He's coming off of an injury right now, so kind of easing back into it. But just the overall having them there, you know, spend that and enjoy that moment, you know, with me was really, really awesome.
Do you have some Coach Noakes stories? Everybody's got some. And I went last year, wasn't able to go this year. And I heard 5 or 6. That I hadn't heard before. Do you have one that's pops?
You know, I've got a lot of Coach Noakes stories that I could probably talk about. You know, but the one thing that I say about Coach is, you know, he was the first coach that ever coached me really hard. Right? There was a couple times. There was a Madera game where he felt like I wasn't giving 100%, and when I came back into the dugout, you know, he let me know that. He felt like I didn't give 100%. And at that moment, as I look back, he was coaching me hard. He had expectations, right? He knew that I could do more. And I really learned from that experience. There was an interesting conversation during that time. But, yeah, it's just an overall memory of what that man did for myself, many players in this program, all the past players. But, yeah, there are many, many Coach Noakes stories.
I know, and everyone's got some. Yeah. And, it's a life lessons as well. And, those when he says, hey, I expect more from you.
Yeah.
Then that sticks with you. I mean, it sticks with you 30 years later.
It does. And, you know, it was really special because the night before or the day before, I was actually getting ready to go to the Memorial game, and Coach Noakes' phone number popped up on my phone, and we talked for 3 or 4 minutes, and he just said, you know, congratulated me on my induction. You know, he was sorry he couldn't be there. You know, talked about how proud he was of me, and he talked very highly of my boys because he's got to see both of them, you know, play in the program. And that was cool. That was a cool moment for him to take time to call me and says, hey, I appreciate what you're doing for the program. And I just said, hey, Coach, I'm just trying to give back, right? Give back to, you know, the program that I played for. And so that was a special moment with Coach that day.
What was playing for Bullard like in the 90s? You know, in 88, 89, the national number ones, and just the expectations, the traditions, right? When you put on that uniform and that Bullard hat, what was it like?
It was, you know, a sense of, you know, pride, honor, commitment. I mean, you got to think, you know, I was in Tenaya 91, 92, and you start hearing about the local high school baseball program, and I start hearing about this legendary coach, Coach Noakes, and then you start hearing people mimic his voice, right? And so then I started to go to the Coach Noakes camps my 7th and 8th grade year, and I got to see him in person, and that's when it all hit me of like, I'm getting ready to go into a very special program. So yeah, that pride, that commitment, that honor, because every day you walk between those lines, you want to be the best version of yourself for the program, your teammates, all the prior players that came through this program. I mean, it's a storied program, as you know, full of national championships, sections championships, league championships. So I was honored to put on that Bullard B every day. It was special, and it's great to see that my boys get to do
it. Yeah, and B. Robin, is that something that you fully get now? Is something you think you're going to appreciate later in life, right? You see your dad inducted into the Hall of Fame, and you hear the stories, and you're taking the same field. Obviously, some things look different. Dugouts look different, right? I know that. It's a little bit farther, too, right?
Oh,
even the fence is a little bit farther, plays deeper. But is that kind of how you feel, right, when you put on, you know, maybe your stripe, you know, your striped pants, or, you know, the blue cleats? Like, what's going through your mind?
I think for sure I will be able to, as time goes on, I'll be able to, like, admire it a little bit more. But for sure now, that definitely knowing that, even not just my dad, but I had two uncles that played for, I believe, Coach Noakes as well.
Uncle Mike did. Uncle Jeff played for Thiessen.
Dad and two uncles that played for the program as well. We have our banner on the wall out there in the right field. But it's just, it's nice knowing that it's a culture-based program that has been around for a long time. We've had, I mean, obviously Coach Noakes and now Coach Donald. We have great coaches. We've always had a big coaching staff. We have people that are there to make you better and only want to make you better. We have people that are there by volunteer to just want to make me better. And I think that has sunk in with me over the past 4 years for sure, that now being a senior, I know that I have been polished with the best coaching I can, and know that they have prepared me for the next level and what I can do. So
So you played in this killer NorCal team, I heard.
Oh,
right?
It was amazing.
So talk about this team. Was that a couple years ago that you got to travel and go out of state and some big tournaments?
I played with them my freshman summer, my sophomore summer. I played 3 summers, freshman, sophomore, junior summer. And it was a little bit of a different team all 3 years, I think. It was unreal. I got to play with some of the local guys, like
White, like Prieto.
Prieto. I had guys from North Buchanan, so I had White, Prieto, Jack West. I got to play with Gianni Dorito was on that team. Peyton Barsotti,
Brennan Johnson,
Nate Etchegoenberry played.
Down south.
Hayden Elklip down south. Brady Durkin, and just there was an elite level of talent with those guys on that NorCal team, and when everybody came together and we all had the same goal and we were all the same person, it felt like, just from a different school. It was like we were just all copy-paste of people from the same school. And it was like every single player was elite, and every single player was good, and it was – it's just – it's very fun to be around guys that have the same mindset as you and know – are on the same path and have the same goals. It's just, it's something very special that you don't – I wouldn't say you don't get it in high school baseball, but it's definitely enhanced more when you go and play on a travel team like that where you have multiple guys.
And your game raises yourself,
yes,
right?
100%.
Like, yeah, I want to get to this level. Scott, what was it for you on the outside looking in, or were you really involved?
Yeah, I was. I went the year we went to University of Texas, Louisiana, TCU. I was a chaperone, and we did some driving on a big bus. It was awesome to see the boys, you know, on 8-hour bus rides. But, you know, for me, it was great to see some elite SEC baseball facilities, watch the team get to practice on some of them, hit on their in their cages, and just watch him enjoy and playing with, like he said, some elite players. And you know what Rob does with NorCal over there was pretty special. He builds that platform, allows the boys to shine. So yeah, to me it was just like I was like a kid in a candy store. I was loving it.
Vincent, what pops out to you during that trip as far as the stadiums and the facilities? Like, were you just blown away?
Yeah, I was completely blown away. I mean, first of all, I'm very grateful for those opportunities. I mean, there's not a single other person other than what was on my team that will be able to have those opportunities. So I know that that's something that I can cherish for the rest of my life. I mean, it's just awesome. But we would, yes, freshman year, we took a bus. I mean, I think the SEC programs mostly are what blow my mind the most. I mean, we went to Florida, LSU, Texas,
TCU,
Vanderbilt. We even went down to like USC.
Yeah.
But like those, even just hitting batting practice in those cages, and it's just a full. They have TrackMans, they have hundreds of bats, they have the weight room is fully customized to each. They have a rack for each player almost. They have Gatorade. It's everything you could dream
next
of.
Level.
And
yeah.
I don't,
it's next level.
We got to hit BP on the field, which was awesome. Wow. We got to take tours of the whole thing. And I remember sitting in the meeting room of LSU with all the trophies in the back.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
It's really cool. It's awesome to just see what that's like to be at the top of the top, and know that that's what you're striving for every day. And I think that Rob did a great job with getting us exposed to that, and it was really awesome.
Absolutely. And you committed to play baseball at Fresno Pacific University.
Yeah.
And I had the pleasure on Wednesday to check that out. Do a tour and talk to some people about that. But, man, just how excited are you for playing at the next – I know you got some baseball to take care of this year,
yes,
right? But
yes.
Just the future, right? How cool is that? You know you're going to play at the next level. You're going to have some great facilities and great coaches there, mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, well, so playing at the next level has always been my dream and goal. I mean, I've always known from a young age that I wanted to play baseball for as long as I could. And so playing with NorCal and playing with Bullard has just polished me into what I need to be to play at the next level. And I think with getting the opportunity to play at Fresno Pacific is really – it's just perfect for me, I feel like. It's just giving me an opportunity to go out there and play and get a great education and do what I need to do to set myself up for life, because that's not – I mean, it's not always only about baseball. It's about setting yourself up. But I think – the biggest thing that stood out to me was the culture there. I feel like it honestly felt like Bullard to me when I stepped on the campus, or when I saw the games and just the coaching staff and the way they went about it, and the way they talked to the players, and the way they put a team first. And it's not about – they want you to succeed, and they want you to be the best you can. So I think that that played a big part in my decision, and I think that it's going to be a great next
it is 100%. Right, you're absolutely going to love the experience. And you know, D2 sports in general, I've talked a lot with the basketball coaches, you're going to get the full college experience, right? There's not, you're not going to worry about transferring and all, just all this other stuff. You're going to be team, you're going to have a great, you're going to get great education, all those things. So Scott, you as a dad, right, how proud and awesome is it that you are going to be able to you know, watch his college career.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. Another kind of really fun dad moment for me. I know how much he loves the game. I've talked about it with him, that play this game until you can't play anymore. He's doing that. And I think the special part to me, too, is he's going to get a good education in the process, right? So get a good education, play baseball as long as you can, and so that he can experience that college life that you talked about earlier. And once he plays it out for the fullest, I mean, he'll remember those days forever. So, yeah, I'm excited to be able to, you know, drive 15, 20 minutes down the road. And just to see him, you know, excited about the experience and how much he likes the coaches and the new facility he saw. I'm proud of him. He's putting a lot of time and energy and work to continue to develop. So I'm going to sit back again and just enjoy this and be able to watch both boys throughout the next 4 years.
Is your other son's a freshman?
He's a freshman, yeah.
He's a freshman at Bullard. So, yeah awesome. We got to wrap things up. Yep. Man, this time just absolutely flew by. Thank you guys for coming on, man. This has been a lot of fun. I've watched you play baseball for the last 2.5 years, and you got a Valley Championship to go after as well, and a league title, and obviously your career at Fresno Pacific. So, Vincent, thanks for coming on, and Scott, too. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
it's a pleasure being on here.
Appreciate it very much.
All right. That's a wrap for today's show. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, for Jorge for producing the show, Aaron Pemberthy at Fresno Christian, great conversation, Davey Jones as well at Hoover, and then Scott and his son Vincent Robinson talking about Bullard baseball and what that means to them, and all the great stuff that goes on with playing sports at the high school level. Thank you guys for listening. We'll do it again next week.